It's a weird time in history right now. Writers Guild on strike, League of Legends pros on strike, rail workers denied the right to strike, French workers striking, Bobby Kotick claiming there has never been a systemic harassment issue after paying $50 million to settle claims that they did and didn't have procedures in place to deal with the fact that they did. I don't have a solution and won't resort to a pithy quip. Society's complicated. Some of these headlines are in tonight's news. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you about them and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 962 of our program for tonight, June the 4th of 2023. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined here live each and every Sunday night when we record with my co-hosts. Say hello first and foremost to the one and only Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
No, I'm Pig Meg.
Yeah. So, okay. But the people on podcast don't get that. So you're being represented by a picture tonight because it sounds like both you and I have had a week. You start.
Okay. So I've made it no secret that I have myalgic encephalomyelitis, mm-hmm. which is also known colloquially as chronic fatigue syndrome. Mm-hmm. Since starting ballet, I actually ran out of two of my medications and started taking them again very recently. And partly as a result, I'm having dizzy spells after activity. Not all the time, but I did a combination of like an hour and 15 minutes of yoga, Pilates, bar exercise, weight training, and my cool down. So, I basically do like mixed movement, and then bar exercise to try to get my turnout. Today was the day I was working on my turnout. And I sat down for a little bit and just dizzy spell. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to be able to do makeup or stand up while my hands are shaking. So I just like, I don't want to be on cam. So
it's
this little avatar I made in DAZ 3D, and I had just put together, you know, kind of a representation of my cosmetic that I play with Meg in Dead by Daylight, but something a little bit different, but I always use the pig mask.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually now my no cam image on my stream because I use my camera to hide my perks.
I was going to say it's big VTube vibes, except the only thing it's missing is bouncing up and down like as you're talking and that whole thing, you know, so, or the mouth move. Well, you wouldn't see the mouth moving under the mask, but maybe like bouncing up and down or whatever.
Well, the one I'm working on now is going to eventually hopefully be a VTuber.
Yeah. Awesome. For me, my week, I have been dealing with strep throat, actually. So you're probably wondering, what the hell are you doing talking tonight? Actually, I started antibiotics a few days ago. My throat is now fine. The weird thing that happened is that from strep throat, it now went to what I believe is a sinus infection. I can't exactly go to see my doctor on the weekend, so I can't get that properly evaluated. And am I on antibiotics anyway? I'm not sure what else I can do. But that is very strange to have strep throat, because that's not supposed to cause sinus issues, but it's likely that the infection kind of traveled a little bit. So that part's kind of weird.
Depends on the antibiotic that you're on is why it might not affect your sinuses.
Oh, interesting. I think I've taken this for sinus infection before, Z-Pak. So it's pretty common. Z-Pak,
yeah, I always start off with doxycycline, but yeah, it's always worked for me.
Z-Pak is, I'm allergic to penicillin, so Z-Pak has always kind of been first. Oh, interesting. Yeah, so it's that.
And amoxicillin.
Yeah, yeah. And amoxicillin was the one I actually had a reaction to, so they just say all penicillins. Z-Pak and the one you call doxycycline are usually the two are usually the two go-tos. So
yeah, same. Yeah. Do you remember when I took amoxicillin and I had that really weird raised skin reaction that I kept going to the golf club with?
I don't.
When
it was
I had
a while ago.
Pneumonia.
That was a while ago. Wow.
That was a while ago. I mean, I think it was like 2010.
Mm.
But it was like it itched so badly. But when I went under the black light, because I'm so pale, it stretched out my skin and looked like spider webs. It was kind of cool.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
No, all my issues happened when I was 12. I took amoxicillin for something and I got a big rash like everywhere. And the doctor said, all right, no more of that. So yeah. Interesting.
They gave me penicillin when I was 5 and ended up in the ER.
Oh, my. Oh, no. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's say hello to somebody who hopefully is happy and healthy. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, good, good. Except why on earth would you have that game playing behind you tonight on stream? Is that's 1-2 Switch I'm watching behind you tonight?
It is, because it's just so that you realize that the game actually exists, because I completely forgot about it. I mean, we're going to talk about, once again, Nintendo deciding to bring a sequel to something that, like, really no one cares about.
Well, you know what? Since you transitioned, why don't we get right into it? I'll just give my usual spiel, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, V-O-G Network, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, who is back live tonight. Bobby Blackwolf, by the way, at Summer Games Done Quick, which will be one of our fast headlines later, but he really went into depth about being there and his participation and so forth. So if you have any type of interest in Games Done Quick and, you know, kind of what all happens at the in-person event, because it is back in person, he talked a lot about that on his show tonight. So I'll, you know, kind of give an extra shout out for Bobby tonight.
Stop trying to make 1-2 Switch happen. It's not going to happen.
It's well, pretty much
going to that. Let's get into the kickoff topic then.
They, without any fanfare whatsoever, which is the appropriate amount of fanfare to give 1-2 Switch, is literally none. It is out for pre-order now on the eShop for $29.99. It's releasing June 20th. I could really just, like, I don't care at all about this game. It was an awful game, and now it's an awful game with a sequel. And, like, you already have, like, Wii Sports Resort, or, like, not Wii Sports Resort, the Switch Sports, which is basically Wii Sports. Like, you don't need this. Like, you tried this. You tried to make this happen. It didn't happen. No one really wanted it. And now you put out a sequel to it. Why? Why would you do that?
I'm legit surprised this didn't go the HBO Max route, shall we say, of quietly disappearing content into the night and writing it off and never releasing it. I'm kind of surprised it didn't go that way.
Or just, hey, guess what? You know, now that you're paying extra money for that Nintendo Switch Online
Expanded
or whatever it is, expansion pass, now you get this piece
of crap. That's exactly
for
what this should have been. This should have been a free piece of crap for being a Nintendo Switch Online member. That's exactly what this should
be. It could be both, because $29.99 is really not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But they could say, but you could get it for free with Nintendo Switch Online. But I don't think that they're doing that. I really just don't see this selling very well at all.
Well, like, you know what? Some folks in chat are talking about that. Like Mike Def says, didn't the physical copies for everybody's 1-2 Switch sell out? Like, it's awful and all, but it is selling. There is, I honestly think it's people that are looking for a fast and easy party game that get allured to 1-2 Switch. And I wonder if there will be a similar allure for this, except there's no physical edition for this. It's not going to be something that tempts them on the Walmart shelf.
Here's the other weird thing about this that I should point out based off of the screenshot here, or the artwork. Half of the people have Switch controllers or Joy-Cons. The other half of the people on here have cell phones. So it sounds to me that it's a game that you can play with your cell phone as well.
They have, that is confirmed in the description, that your cell phone is, which is something actually I thought was a brilliant move from Jackbox Games, kind of brought that to the forefront several years ago at this point, and I think that was brilliant. So I'm not surprised to see another company implementing that. I'm surprised to see Nintendo be that company. That's the surprising part. I'm not surprised at all. Somebody took a good idea and put it in their own game. I'm surprised Nintendo did that, because they're the ones to usually push their own hardware. But maybe, you know, again, if they're trying to me, there's only one market for this. There's one market for this. It is somebody who's throwing a party, has several people over, needs a party game everybody can play, and wants something new to play. And this is it. And, you know, if you didn't have enough Joy-Cons that everybody could play, you would be probably hesitant to buy it. But since it works with cell phones, that's not going to be a problem. Don't you all have phones? We all know that meme at this point, but it's true. Right. Like, everybody does have a phone at this point.
But,
you know,
don't they have, like, the Jackbox games on the Switch? So, like, I would just play that.
Mm. You know, that's better. Bobby brings up a really good point in chat as well. There are lots of Switches that don't have Joy-Cons, because if you have the one that Alan has, the Switch Lite or whatever they called it, where it was all together, you don't have Joy-Cons on that. So you have to have something else.
Okay. Okay. That you're not plugging into the TV, so is everyone going to huddle around the little Switch Lite and go, okay, I can't really see the screen because it's so damn tiny, but I think we're doing the thing, you know, like I get it. You can play through your phone and stuff.
Hotel
like that.
Hotel room party.
Whatever. You know what? Cool. You wasted development time on this. This is what I don't get. Like, 1-2 Switch gets a sequel and gets development time. Pikmin gets goddamn how many sequels, you know, for that thing. But, like, F-Zero, what's that? Oh, I don't know. We just don't make F-Zero games here anymore.
Well, you know, it's not like it's not like the original 1-2 Switch didn't sell. Now, I would argue that was because outside of Zelda, there was very little else to buy, at least, you know, for that party environment and so forth. And yes, I'm sure you all are going to come at me with the launch titles. But as far as Nintendo's first party, and they are very good at getting the game out in front of people, especially when the Switch was new and they made it, you know, here's what I ask. So I see the quote in chat, the 3 million people bought 1-2 Switch. How many of those 3 million people regret that purchase? That's what I really want to know.
How many people are playing that game still? Or how many people, like, purchased it because they're like, well, there's no, like, Wii Sports type game, so I'm going to buy this. Like, look at the game that is behind me right now. Like, let me describe for the audio listeners. It is a game where you have a chest that's wrapped in chains. You have to twist your Joy-Con around to unwrap the chains. That looks goddamn boring. Like, I would not want to play that. It's stupid. And watching the people, like, dress up like pirates do it is just cringy as hell.
Let me ask this question. Don't. Because if there is the cell phone integration, then none of this stuff with the vibration can be in it. So I'm going to ask this question from, I guess, devil's advocate or whatever you want to call it. Is it possible that them having to make the regular cell phones a controller as well will actually make the games better because they can't just rely on the gimmicks?
No, I doubt it. I honestly doubt it. Like, because if they thought it was going to be a good game, they'd be charging more than $29.99. Mm. They have no confidence on it, so they didn't spend any marketing budget or very little marketing budget.
It's not even announced in a direct.
It's not even something that they would throw in their, like, random, like, directs that they were doing, like, with indie games or, like, not even indie games, but, like, other things. Like, hey, this is coming out. Because they honestly can't say, hey, guys, I know you guys are waiting for a sequel. The sequel you've all been asking for. It's like, F-Zero, Mother, no. Another retro game, no. Of your Excitebike, no. Oh, 1-2 Switch. Okay. Well.
I'm just of the mindset that, like, rather than release it for $30, I bet more people would play it if they made it free with Switch Online. You know, and maybe, you know, again, it's about making money, and they probably figure they're going to get those Switch Online dollars anyway because people are going to pay the online. Although Zelda doesn't really have online, right? So they gotta. I don't know. They're maintaining those online fees from somewhere. I don't know. But
okay, yeah. Bobby's saying the games are too expensive. Here's a $30 game. If you thought it was good, you'd make it more expensive. Well, yeah, because I don't want to pay $30 for a crappy game. I gotta pay $30 for a good indie game.
Sure,
and probably
yeah.
have a lot more enjoyment over it. Like, 1-2 Switch is just bottom of the barrel garbage. This is something like if it was literally some other like random third party company that made shovelware put this out, I wouldn't be surprised that that was from them. The fact that Nintendo has their name on it doesn't make it a quality game. It was just not good.
Yeah. Well, we'll see when the reviews come out. But again, I say that and I don't usually put stock in reviews, but I just feel like a lot of these, the lower price tag, which Nintendo really does, not even being in a direct, straight to the store, like all of these signs point at this is the equivalent of a Nintendo write-off. Like this is it. They're firing this one late into the night, and it is what it is. And I fully expect the reviews are going to say this game is crap. And, you know, we might sound, you know, hateful or whatever, but I really think our prediction here is not without merit. If it's not, then what a pleasant surprise that would be. Then great. I would be excited that, hey, it's only $30. That's a great deal. But, you know, like Loki points out, even though, yeah, $30 is a cheaper game, and for the most part, we're happy to see that, it's difficult to get excited when you're looking at Jackbox games, which the party packs are, what are they, $19.99 for the party pack? I don't legit know what they cost right now, but they're maybe $19, maybe $24.99. And I would say I enjoyed any of those packs, any of them, better than I did 1-2 Switch.
Yeah, you want to get me excited about something that would be like a party game for the Switch and you can involve cell phones? Make me another WarioWare game. Could you do that with the cell phones? And that would probably work, you know, for some of the touchscreen stuff. You could probably do little micro games and stuff and send it through there and have some sort of interaction with that. But, like, that's a better franchise than this. This is just garbage. This is... I just don't see this being a thing.
Actually, you bring up an interesting idea. Like, what if Nintendo were to take the cell phone thing and put it in some other games? Like, I think I'm still sitting here shocked going, I never saw Nintendo doing this in the first place. So for me to think like, oh, would they make a WarioWare game that you could control with your phone? Like, I'm like, no, they would never do that. But I'm like, well, but I didn't think they'd do this either. You know, could they do something that maybe they try to attract people with phones to get more of those, you know, party in person type of games? I don't know. But the other thing to point out is that this release is also surprising because it's literally the only new game we know that's coming for Switch first party right now. We don't know what else is on Nintendo's agenda. So again, this does feel very get it out there before they're going to reset the palette and tell us the games we're really excited for. When does this come out again, right? Loki? The end of June?
It's on the 20th. And so, yeah, by the time, like, if they did,
so probably the next week is when we get a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah. So if we get a Nintendo Direct, you're literally going to forget that this game exists again. Like, you're going to hear the other games, you're like, oh, cool, you know, I'm going to look forward to that, and then just immediately forget that this thing exists. Like you did the original 1-2 Switch.
Yeah. But if the Nintendo Direct is before the 20th, then we already know we're going to see the footage for this game, which is still a possibility. Nintendo still may just they have to show they're trying to make money and, you know, that build an awareness of the game. They will probably show some footage for the game and stress the cell phone thing and instant party. If you want to have an immediate party, just buy this game type of thing. I could see them doing that if the Direct is before the 20th. But I still want to know what the hell Nintendo's doing for the holiday. I do not believe there is nothing for the holiday. I do not believe there is nothing for the holiday. How? The only way I would believe that is if Nintendo says it's because we're targeting Switch successor for first quarter 2014. Then I would believe that there's nothing for the holiday. But I know what everybody's saying, what the rumors said, and what Nintendo has even gone record saying. It blows my mind. Or they're going to really rest on a third party. That could be too. There could be some big third party announcements. I just don't know what they'd be, but maybe something like Xenoblade Chronicles X, because they still didn't have a remade that one. They could, you know, do a remaster of that for the Switch, could come out for holiday. You know, there might be a few of those things that they could kind of pull on. I guess Xenoblade would be more second party, but still, you know, there might be some things they can kind of pull out to band-aid the holiday until the Switch successor happens. So, Dijorama S says Mario Kart 9. And yeah, I agree with Bobby. They're not going to release Mario Kart 9 while they're still releasing waves of Mario Kart 8 DLC. I don't see how they release Mario Kart 9 for the Switch at this point, unless it's a hybrid game with whatever the successor is. You know, I hope the successor is fully backwards compatible. We shouldn't count on it, but I think we all hope it is. I think it would be a damn shame if something like Tears of the Kingdom wasn't playable on the next console. But we'll see. I don't know. I would, again, and I've said this before on the show, I'll make it quick. The low-hanging fruit, quote-unquote, game to release, in my opinion, that kind of blows my mind that they haven't done it this year, is Mario Odyssey 2, especially with Mario Movie having been this year. And now the Blu-ray coming out, what, in a couple weeks, right? In fact, I actually, no, it's like next week, because I think somebody in Discord was saying that Best Buy, like, shipped it to people's homes already, like, broke street on it or whatever. I'm still kind of blown away that there was no tie-in Mario product for the Mario Movie. So, I would think a Mario Odyssey 2 or something in the Mario universe is the holiday title. But what do I know? Although I have had a lot of predictions come true this year, I'm just saying. All right. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week, whether it's 1-2 Switch or something else. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
We have Black Knight Sword of Rage. We have the pro version, and I've been playing some of that, and it pisses me off. Been playing through Marvel's Midnight Suns on my second playthrough, doing a light playthrough, and I've got Storm, and she's amazing! But I think also her voice actress was Sindel. I think I'll have to double check. But I'm just finding a lot of like the NetherRealm crossovers. It's kind of interesting. But at any rate, I've been enjoying that. I'm still doing, of course, Dead by Daylight. Probably going to work on my Adept some more. What else is I playing? Oh, yeah, Cult of the Lamb, which I love. I played 7 hours of Midnight Suns. I didn't go to bed until like 4 a.m.
You were streaming late.
Yeah, well, Dan was staying up to, and he was going to let me know when the finale was up for.
Yeah, Games Done Quick ended late for late for us and early for them, because it was like 5 or 6 in the morning for them.
He passed out. And finally, I just could not keep my eyes open anymore. I was just really fading. And like, I didn't get up until 1 today. Because I mean, it's why my submissions were so bare, was because I barely could remember my name. The fatigue was like to the point I actually couldn't get out of my chair. So. If no one knows what the feeling of having your muscles ache to the point where you literally cannot move, that's where I was. And I actually finally, after a little bit, managed to conserve enough that I could get up and go to bed. Michigan's Midnight Suns is a great game, and you can read all about it on the internet. I'm kidding. It's a Marvel sort of strategy RPG-ish kind of game, where you have like a card deck that dictates your moves to use in the battle sequences, and you can do like story things and then other things to like gain experience and gain items that will help you out and boost you up and all of this stuff. And then you kind of not romance people, you kind of make friends with them. It's just making friends, although some of them totally flirt with you. Like, I seriously think that Morbius just is a flirt, like an unapologetic flirt. It's great.
I was trying to get some B-roll of the game up for one of your streams, but for whatever reason, it was taking its sweet time. But for those watching live on Twitch, there's some of Dark Sakura's stream from last night, so you can see a little bit of what the game looks like. So you can kind of see, like, it's...
Don't get the part where I burped into the mic.
Well, they don't hear the audio anyway. It's just the video. But you can see that you're, like... You kind of like you have a battlefield fight RPG thing, like, I don't know, Chrono Trigger, but you're using cards to actually make the plays, which is interesting. It's not just like fight, magic, run, right? It's you're using cards to make your different plays, which is interesting. It's a different way to do it, right?
And you have to be able to use your environment or combo your cards. Like, one thing that I like is that you eventually get the ability for your party members to be an obstacle mm-hmm. that causes damage to the others instead of them getting hurt when you knock some money into them.
Mm-hmm.
But like some of the major characters, you know, were corrupted. Like in this clip, it's Scarlet Witch was corrupted. Like Venom, Sabretooth, those are the big ones. You fight Dracula, Mephisto, you know, some big Marvel names. And I like that the continuity of it sort of, it's mostly comic continuity, but it's its own universe's continuity as well. It's not like MCU style, though there are some touches, you know. I think it's a great game. I mean, I have zero regrets for having bought the Legendary Edition for $100. When it came out.
All right.
And Storm, oh my God. So I love Deadpool. And Morbius is okay. And Venom is okay. But Storm. Oh, she's amazing.
All right. That's it for your gaming week. We'll go over to Loki.
Yep. More Minecraft. Just been plugging away. Put out an episode this week. Built the giant metal. It's a giant met that's from Mega Man 3, I think. It's a mid-boss that has giant thrusters, I guess, on the bottom of it. So that was kind of fun. A big quarry. Yeah, still working on more stuff for my season. Trying to wrap things up.
And if folks want to check out your build video, of course, they can go to your YouTube over at Loki. _OLR, yeah. Right?
No underscore, just Loki OLR.
Oh, because I went to, because I was just pulling the video and I did underscore Loki OLR and it worked, but whatever. Weird. But yeah, you can check out the build. I was trying to see if I could show a little part in that video, because this is where you're kind of like in the weeds. Maybe here?
Yeah, there's the giant metal, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow, look at that. Sorry to those on the podcast feed, but just imagine I'm showing a very elaborate Minecraft build where Loki is kind of like in this pit. There's like a tiny little door that he's going in that I imagine kind of helps him get back up to the top, and you can see where
room. Oh, there's a farm in the giant metal, and it drops stuff out of the bottom of it.
Got it.
The storage room.
Got it. But yeah, there's a really cool little Mega Man guy that floats up there at the top, and yeah, this is great. You do these such elaborate builds; they're so cool. So
thank you.
I hope more people check them out. Yep. God, just look how vast the Minecraft world is. Sometimes you really, yeah, the size is just incredible. Anyway, all right. So that's it, just Minecraft for you?
Yep, just Minecraft.
All right, my gaming week. Again, I've been kind of sick, so it's cut into my time a little bit, but you know I was all over Diablo 4, which, of course, had early access this week. So speaking about paying $100 for the Ultimate Edition of a game, I paid the fee to get in and do the early access in Diablo. Which I have been playing quite a bit. Not as much as some people I know, because like yesterday I couldn't even sit down and focus. I had so much sinus pressure, like right in that place that sucks to have sinus pressure. So like I couldn't focus for long periods of time, but
you mean everywhere?
Yeah, it was horrible. But anyway, I did beat Act 2. I did that earlier today. So, Act 1 was basically the equivalent of the demo or the beta that was out before. That was how much story was available. So I've been able to play a little more and go through Act 2. And I don't know if I have a lot else to say about this game that I didn't already say when I was talking about the beta, because obviously I've gotten to sample it a little bit. But, you know, just to recap, I think this is more rooted in Diablo 2 than it is Diablo 3. I don't think being rooted in Diablo 3 is a bad thing. I love Diablo 3, but I realize a lot of people kind of missed some of the parts of 2 when they went to 3. And I think this is more rooted in 2. And I think there's a lot of people that are going to enjoy that. But it has a lot of the quality of life stuff from 3. The open world stuff is very interesting, because that's the only part that's like a little weird, because it isn't randomized. The overworld is always the same. It is gigantic, though. And there are all of these dungeons that you can go in. Excuse me, and those are randomized, and everything else that you do, like a classic Diablo game, is randomized. And my understanding is once you get into end game, then you'll go in some of those areas, and that's kind of like end game is running those randomized, but with affixes. It sounds a lot like mythic dungeon runs in World of Warcraft. I hope to be able to speak more on that in a week when I have assumably beaten the story. I'll be streaming it on my own feed throughout the week this week. They're going to be doing some Twitch drops this week, by the way. So I would encourage you, if you have any interest in Diablo at all, watch the streams to get the drop. I guess eat KFC if you must to get those drops as well. But if you want to collect that stuff, if you don't, then whatever. It's just I don't think they do anything besides really cosmetics. That is the one thing, by the way, with Diablo 4. I have to agree with a lot of the stuff I've been reading, that it is unfortunate that they kind of put all that cosmetic pay stuff in there, because it's ridiculous when they've already paying $70 for the game. But at least it is confined to its own little menu, its own little shop, and it isn't something where like you have to click through a pop-up or anything like that, or it doesn't try to coax you the way a lot of free-to-play games will, where, you know, it doesn't do any of that. So I will say at least it kind of puts it in its own little corner. The one thing I don't like is that if you're like me and you can't stand to see notifications, so like you will know that you have a new quest unlocked, there's a little notification thing in that tab, so you want to go clear it. The shop tab always has new notifications in it. So that little like part of me that like wants to clear all my notifications can't do it without going to the shop. That's how they get you. But otherwise, it's whatever. I'll be interested to see what they do with the battle pass. That's going to be very interesting when that. But I guess that's tied to seasonal content. And, you know, I Dead by Daylight has battle passes and it's all cosmetics and I don't mind it. So I'll kind of be curious to see if it's a similar system in Diablo, which I believe it's supposed to be. It's just, you know, how many of these season achievements you do basically tie into how much of the battle pass stuff you unlock. And it is all cosmetics. But yeah, I'm playing a druid. My druid is through Act 2. My druid is level 41. No, 39. I think just before 40. I think I went the wrong way. It's subtract a level, not add a level. My druid is level 39 and just got through Act 2 because I'm one of those people that's like, I have to do every side quest. I have to find every Lilith statue. I have to do all these things. But I finally got myself to stop doing that because the bonuses that you get in each zone stop at a certain point and you have to be in world tier 3, which is a higher level, to unlock the highest stuff. So basically I said, okay, I will allow myself to go side quest and adventure to get my two skill points that you get, and then I'm stopping. So that's what I just finished in the second zone. I beat Act 2 and then I got my second skill point from the zone. So later tonight I will probably go and play Act 3 and see how far I can get with that tonight. Mishkins in chat says there's going to be a battle pass for D4. Oh Lord. Yep. But again, it's supposedly all cosmetic. Yeah. That's what they promised. So if that's what it stays as, then I don't think it's going to be too big an issue because the character creator is pretty good. You've probably seen a lot of people on social media sharing the characters that they've made. You can make a lot of diverse, different types of characters. In Diablo 3, every character kind of had their default and you couldn't really customize that. Now they don't have a default druid or a default barbarian. It is always, when you're on the character select screen, it is always randomized, the characters that are sitting there. So you can see different looking people anytime you look at the menu of a class select, which I think is interesting. I like that they kind of mix it up like that. So, Mish in chat says, I made a second character because I'm like you, Rob. I do everything I can. I'll make a second character too eventually, but I'll wait for the season content to do it. When the season content drops, then I'll make a second character. And, you know, because I assume that season characters will roll into regular like before. Other than that, I've also been playing more Final Fantasy 14. I should get my Island Sanctuary to rank 14 tonight because that's my end game content as Island Sanctuary, or the, I guess, Animal Crossing, for lack of, it's more like Farm Simulator or something is more like what it is. What is the name of that big farming game? Why has the name escaped me? Harvest Moon. It's more Harvest Moon than that. But I'll get to that tonight. And then I've also been playing a little bit of Dead by Daylight, just a little. But I did get Jane to Prestige 1. I only have a handful of characters left who aren't at Prestige 1, and Jane was one of them, so I got my Adept Jane as well. So, yay. Should also mention with Dead by Daylight, they did a big Pride stream earlier this week, and they released a lot of charm content that are related to Pride Month. So meaning like, you know, charms are things that your survivor can wear on their little belt or, you know, yeah. belt area, or killers. Yeah. Killers can have them on their hook. So most Le Jubitois people had the rainbow charms, but now, like Dark Sakura just said, you can have an ace charm if you want to have an ace charm, or a pan flag if you want to have that, or trans flags. They released a lot of different identities within the spectrum this week, and that's really cool for those that, you know, want to use those and further identify or what have you. And I think they also released another rainbow charm that was like an eye that looked pretty cool too, like a more generalized pride charm that was neat. So
well, there is the one thing to bring up had touched on before.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So Puppers was, you know, a big figure in the community. One of the early fog whisperers, you know, the representatives of the game, and just a really all around great person. And he finally died on the 2nd. From ALS, complications of ALS. And so on that note, you know, we just want to offer our empathy to family and friends, the people who knew him the best, and also, you know, a show of support for the community, for everyone who he touched. He was definitely a light in the fog.
And yeah, a lot of people in the Twitch community feeling lost this week, for sure.
And may his memory be a blessing.
All right. I think that's everything to say on my gaming week. So let's get into some news. I'm going to turn it again. The show's probably going to be a little shorter tonight just because I'm feeling kind of bleh. Dark Sakura's feeling kind of bleh. But we do have some news we want to get through and talk about some of the headlines this week. So Loki, I'm going to let you start it off. Right, Loki?
I'm sorry, what was that?
You're going to start it off, right? Yeah.
Yep, MetaQuest 3. I think I've been actually waiting for, because I wanted to pick up a new VR headset, and I know that they were going to be announcing a new MetaQuest 3, and now here we go. So the Quest 3 is going to be coming out this fall, starting at $500. Along with that, they're going to be dropping the price of the Quest 2 down $100 again, so they raised it, and now it's back down again, so that's interesting. Looks like it has more front-facing cameras, a more powerful Snapdragon processor in it as well. It's going to be capable of doing some AR stuff as well, which is kind of cool. And then on top of that, they're going to be also doing a patch, or I guess not really a patch, a firmware update for the Quest 2. To actually bump up the power of it by, like, I think 25%, or up to 25% more. So that's kind of nice for folks who have the older one. Let's see. Yeah, so $500 for the 128 gigabyte storage version, and then 256, no price on that yet. But it is interesting to see, you know, that it is, I mean, I'm curious to check out to see how much better it is, because I know my VR headset is pretty old, and I would like a new one that can sit in a box that I probably won't ever use, but it's nice to know that I'll have one in case I do want to use it. My kids were always saying, are you going to get us one? I'm like, you already have a Quest 2 that I bought you like 6 months ago, so shut up. But yeah, they've got, yeah, 40% smaller than the Quest 2. It's got the same pancake lens optics from the Quest Pro, so that's cool, even better visuals, and a higher resolution display, and they said much higher resolution quality pass-through cameras. Now in color, assisted with a special depth sensor, so that's going to be hopefully for AR? Possibly?
Maybe. We'll have to see some of the games and what they do.
Yes, we will have to see some of those games, including the one that they did promise us last time we talked about VR. And still nothing. So back on October 28, 2021, Mark Zuckerberg, the lizard man himself, promised that they're going to be working on Grand Theft Auto San Andreas for VR, to which I said, wow, I don't really care about that because that's going to look like garbage. in VR because it's so damn old, but okay, sure. You know, if that's all I get, then I'm fine with that, I guess. Nothing about the game at all. So, is it coming out? Hopefully Grove Street Games isn't working on it, because that will be all sorts of awful. I don't know. I, like, once again, like, until I saw that article, I completely forgot about it.
Yeah, I'd forgot that that was a thing, too, until that story was making the rounds this week.
It's not really, like, a really cool thing to have an exclusive, like, yeah, it's exclusive, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. I mean, you might as well just do, like, Grand Theft Auto 1 at that point. I mean, it's so old. Like, is that really all the Quest 3 can handle? Is just, like, San Andreas?
Unless they're doing something real extra to it, which I don't know why they'd have the license to do that, no. But we'll see.
I would hope not. Like, I'd be excited about Grand Theft Auto 4 VR. Like, I'd be down for that. Like, that's about as old as I would go with Grand Theft Auto 4 VR on, like, one of those headsets. San Andreas is just too damn old at this point.
But that's,
unless it's, like, a remake.
That's also you and your... You were, like, a top leaderboard player on Grand Theft Auto 4, so...
Yes, I'm hoping someday that Grand Theft Auto 4 comes back with online support so that I can once again dominate the leaderboards again. That will be my game, but... But wait.
We'll have to wait.
It's fine.
Random aside real quick, speaking of VR games, it's not related to what you just talked about, Loki, and technically this isn't about VR, but a game that does play in VR. Darksoccer, I thought of you this week because I felt like our worlds collided a little bit, because No Man's Sky, one of my favorite games that I talk about all the time, teased a lot of, you know, they were, when Hello Games wants to tease a new, or, you know, Sean Murray specifically, when he wants to tease a new game, he uses emojis, and he was using a lot of Apple emojis this week. And everybody was like, oh, is No Man's Sky coming out on Mac? And sure enough, that was it. No Man's Sky came out on Mac this week. So this game that's like 7 years old that continues to, you know, come out on these platforms. But I thought it was legit cool that, like, it's coming out through Steam, basically. And if you already bought No Man's Sky on Steam, on PC or wherever else, you just get the Mac one free, quote unquote. So it's already unlocked for you. So I thought that was really cool. So
That's pretty good. I mean, I already have it for Steam, so that'll be nice.
Oh, then yeah, it's already in your library. So that's really cool.
I just didn't want to have to keep logging into GeForce for it. But
yeah,
this is fine.
Yeah, interesting. You know, and if rumors about where Apple may be, because the No Man's Sky developer said we have something else to announce really soon. If rumors about where Apple could be going very, very soon turn out to be true, that could be very interesting. But we'll wait until those curtains are pulled back.
I have not heard of any rumors, nor have I the desire to comment on them.
Yep. All right.
Reasons.
Yep. All right, well, let's move on and talk about something else, another game that I really like now, Diablo 4, because obviously I've been playing quite a bit of it. But some people, unfortunately, have had a lot more trouble playing Diablo 4. For the most part, the launch of Diablo 4 has actually been, like, shockingly smooth for a Diablo game. Or for a Blizzard game, excuse me. Like, you know, I gotta say, actually, some of their more recent WoW expansions have actually launched pretty smoothly as well. I think Blizzard just has that reputation from 10 years ago of having a lot of hot mess launches. And certainly Diablo 3, y'all remember the big error when people were trying to play Diablo 3, and everybody was pissed that Diablo 3 was always online, which is funny because that's like the norm now. Nobody cares anymore. But Diablo 3 had all those issues. Well, for the most part, for most people, Diablo 4 hasn't been an issue, but it has been on the PlayStation 5. Some folks are having problems getting into Diablo 4 on the PlayStation 5, and this is because of what's called a valid license error. So apparently what would happen is that if the game just couldn't authenticate or whatever, it would not let you in the game. People found a workaround of doing one of two things. The first workaround that was found was, oh, if you buy $2 worth of the Diablo currency on the PlayStation store, you can get in. And people were like, oh, that's shitty. Oh, that's shady. But what the trick really is that you're downloading something new from the store and it's causing the store to refresh your account. So people realized if you download a free game, you can also like go download Fortnite or whatever is free to play. There's a ton of stuff in the free to play section. Go download something there and it will update your license and then you can get into Diablo 4. Interestingly enough, this doesn't seem specific to PlayStation because it's also been happening on Xbox. I know Dark Tetsuya was saying, yeah, I've been having a similar problem on the Xbox Series. So it doesn't seem like it's as prevalent on Microsoft, but it definitely hit PlayStation. Really interesting thought. You know, all this stuff lately about Microsoft trying to buy Activision and Blizzard, and Sony's response was that, well, they could screw us on launches if they wanted to. Now, I don't think Blizzard or Activision screwed the launch here, because I think if it's a store license issue, that sounds like a Sony problem to me.
But if it's on multiple platforms, though, then
that is, yeah,
really be a Sony.
That is. So
problem.
I'm not sure. I feel like this is going to get diagnosed a little further, because if this is a Sony problem, then whatever, Sony has to eat it. If this is a Blizzard problem, this issue is going to come back again in an arbitration room or a courtroom. Watch. Because this is exactly what Sony was bitching about coming to life. For better or for worse.
I could see them someone doing a case. I really... that it's not letting you play it for like a day or so, whatever. I mean, they obviously got it fixed. It's not like... it's not saying, oh, we got to purchase it
again, but
type of thing.
You know, the gamers pay to be in there minute one. If they're not in there minute one, and by the way, the part a lot of people aren't saying, they actually opened the servers 10 minutes early. It was supposed to launch at 4:00 Pacific. Those sneaky little sneaks actually plugged it in at 3:50 just for this reason, to not everybody slam it the same second. They opened it early so people could get in. It's a smart thing to do, but so they could have a little bit more graceful. But again, on the PC front, you wouldn't know anything is wrong. It's running smooth as butter on PC.
Like, yeah, people are going to sue about everything. I still see like advertisements on Facebook about like Steam lawsuits saying that Steam is monopolizing PC. I'm like, do you not understand how storefronts work? But like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, sure, I guess anything's possible and people are dumb and we'll like sue over everything. But like, I think, is it warranted? Probably not in this scenario.
I don't think they sue, but keep in mind the U.S. hasn't made their decision yet on this whole thing. So
that's not even anything like, well, see, you couldn't play it. But yeah, it's like, but yeah, that's on Sony's storefront. Like, it was your, like, if you had these license error issues, like, I don't know, it just sounds like a setup problem, and it was on both platforms. Like, that's just really like drawing straws there. Like, if that's what like puts them over the edge, saying see,
no, I don't think it'll put it over the edge.
Faith in, like, I don't everybody
think it,
like,
no, I don't think it puts anything over the edge, but I think it gets brought up. That's all I'm saying. I think this gets brought up. I think Sony pulls this out and says, look what happened. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. By the way, and on all that, I heard that, obviously people talk a lot and there's a lot of stuff circulating on social media. Apparently, somebody with Activision Blizzard is supposed to be meeting with somebody with the UK government to try to get them to reverse their decision on the appeal on blocking the merge. But there is talk on the table that Activision Blizzard may pull out of the UK.
Okay.
If the Microsoft thing goes through, they may just straight pull out of the UK. That's an interesting thing for them to leverage, because it's not that the games would suffer, because all they have to do is release the games as Microsoft in the UK. They would close all the offices in the UK. So I believe now that they could be playing this game is that they're basically saying, if you block us, we'll just pull all your employees out of the UK. I think they're going to try to strong arm it that way. It's shitty, but it's also business.
What was that company? It was Not Konami. Remember, Konami had the other like publishing arm that they used for the Nintendo because Nintendo.
No, it was Ultra. It was Ultra Games.
Ultra, too. Yeah, Ultra Games is coming back, baby. It's publishing Diablo and Call of Duty.
I think if the U.S. also blocks it, then they can't do that. But if the U.K. kind of sticks out like a thumb, where they're the only one that blocked it out of the others. Absolutely, Microsoft, they're going to put that on the table, that basically like, okay, well, we're going to just dissolve Activision Blizzard's presence in the UK then. And they'll I mean, it is shitty, but.
But it's a good tactic. I mean, I'm honest.
Yeah, it's a good tactic.
Very good strong arm.
Yeah. But again, the UK has to stand alone in blocking it, which is a whole other issue. If they're standing alone blocking it, then we kind of look at it going, well, why are they blocking it and everybody else? Well,
yeah. I mean, it's not the first time the UK's done something to block.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyhow, moving
on. No offense. The people are not their government, but I'm saying the government's been doing some shit.
Oh, but believe me, after the years 2016 to 2021 here in the U.S., please, please understand the people are not the government.
Oh, indeed. Indeed.
We understand that more than anyone. We love all our friends in the UK.
The loudest and worst. Yeah. You know, the sore thumb sticks out.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, Darksakura movie. Konami got brought up, so hey, let's talk about this.
Silent Hill Ascension. So basically, it is going to launch this year. There is a trailer. It is coming out with Behavior, Bad Robot Games, DJ2 Entertainment, and Genvid all together release the trailer for Silent Hill Ascension. You know what I kind of hope with Behavior involved in it is that we get some updates for the Silent Hill, or we get another Silent Hill pack for Dead by Daylight.
Ooh,
but going back to,
I would love that.
Yeah, but anyway, with Silent Hill Ascension, you are going around Silent Hill, and there are actions that are going to be going into the game. Kind of, I guess it almost sounds like almost like the quarry, you know, where your actions are going to build the outcome of the game. But you are going to be playing with a global audience. I guess it's built for streaming. But they're basically going to, hold on, I'm trying to see where exactly it's on. They're talking about the environment a lot, but they're going to build a completely immersive experience with, you know, community, live community driven moments. I'm reckoning that it's something like how Cult of the Lamb works, you know, mm-hmm. or having a built-in Dixper or something.
Interesting.
But I want to read this quote from Okamoto Motoi, who is the series producer at Konami. Silent Hill fans and horror audiences everywhere will have a lot to look forward to. We are pleased to tell a new interactive story in never-before-explored locations alongside new characters that will be introduced to fans of the Silent Hill universe. If it is you who decide the fate of multiple main characters, which will unfold simultaneously around the globe.
Hmm. It almost sounds like
I don't know how I feel.
It almost sounds like the creative direction of the show could be whatever the internet votes on. Like, it might not be like an individualized experience. I don't know. I can't kind of tell, but I'm getting the sense that like it's actually whatever the entire internet decides is what happens, which actually sounds really horrific. And I hope is not the direction they go in. That sounds very like how Elon Musk wants to run Twitter. And I don't know how I feel about that. But I'm hoping I'm misunderstanding that.
I think it's going to be like a choose your own adventure. You're going to have the presets.
Okay, well, that would be much better.
But the thing is that this allows for a replay of seasons, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks pretty interesting. I would rather play, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm okay with a narrative game, like especially like if it like a Telltale-y kind of game, or, you know, the you know, you even brought up Until Dawn or Quarry. But I think that's being done in the Dead by Daylight universe. So I guess I get all these horror game franchises mixed up sometimes, but it could be interesting if to see something go that direction for sure as well. But yeah, I worry if it's something where the entire internet votes on it, because it's going to get gross real quick. What?
The internet is a cesspool.
Yes, that part. So yeah, I hope they're not going that direction. But we'll see when the game comes out or we have some more details. SSG100 Matt in chat says, yeah, I worry how that will play out. Yeah.
I'm going to try to be hopeful.
Yeah. I want to try to be hopeful too. And I'll wait to see some gameplay, some details to really kind of formulate those thoughts, but it does feel a little nebulous right now.
Oh, of course. But I'm maintaining a little bit of hope that maybe it's enough that people will be fans of the series and want to, that the good will outweigh the bad.
Yeah. And on the bright side, it's not the only Silent Hill thing that's coming out either. So if this doesn't end up being your cup of tea, you still have the Silent Hill 2 remake. You still have the Silent Hill F or whatever that was called that they showed the trailer for. So there's still all these other, you know, places they're building out the universe. So if this doesn't end up being your cup of tea, there's probably something that will be. Except pachinko. For some reason, they're done with the pachinko. I don't know what that's all about.
Maybe no one's into the pachi slot anymore.
I guess. All right. Well, speaking of something else people don't seem to be into anymore, Loki. Let's talk about a recently released game.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody was into it much when it came out, but
there were a couple people in chat here that were like, it's not as bad as everyone says this. It
could have been better.
It sounds like it's one of those things where it's like, once you get past, is that like Harambe in the background on your stream? What the hell was that?
This is 1-2 Switch. This is what you deserve, is a stupid monkey doing garbage.
I don't even know half these games. I've played 1-2 Switch. I didn't even know about half of these games that's in.
I remind you, they have a game that I, even when I saw it, I was like, what? Like, where they had you rock your controller. You had to rock the controller because the controller was a baby and you had to put it to sleep. And my mind's like, someone's going to shake that damn controller. So that would be.
Wasn't there like a Cookie Mama spinoff game that was that? And if you shook the controller, it was a big like, no, like that came up like X or something. I swear that was a thing.
And that was one where they had it. It was like a baby doll that you actually insert the controller into.
Like you put the Wii in its mouth, or the Wiimote thing in the mouth, something. Or the, something
you,
terrible.
You,
yeah.
You do something horrible to that doll. And
it has become a meme because that poor child did die.
All right.
Anyways, yeah, game's stupid. We're just, you know.
But anyway,
it didn't have the bugs that Redfall had. So, you know, that is a unfortunate thing. So what happened? What happened with Redfall? Why was it the way it was? Well, some reasons may have come out from this article by Bloomberg, basically saying that, look, Microsoft didn't really have hands on the game development with this game. They kind of left it to Bethesda to take care of, aside from making the decision not to publish it on the PlayStation 5. With that, though, the Austin studio that was handling Redfall, apparently, you know, a good portion of the team, 70% of the team that had made Prey, which was markedly a better game, had left Arkane Austin by the time Redfall had shipped. So losing a lot of that talent could have definitely been part of the problem there as well. Also, there was an interview with Kinda Funny Games where Spencer defended the creative direction of the game, saying, one thing I will fight is this sort of what went wrong. There is clearly quality and execution things we can do, but one thing I won't do is push against the creative aspirations of our team. Okay, I don't think anyone was like harping on the creativity of the game. They were just saying the game runs like dog shit, so you know, maybe don't do that.
Yeah, so I understand that the problem with the game is not like the story or creative stuff. It's
well, that's not. I mean, yes and no. Like I will hark on I will make a complaint about the creativity of the game, because like for example, you have Dishonored, which has like really awesome like real-time cutscenes and stuff like that, that's like a really, you know, solid narrative to the game. Same with even Deathloop and stuff like that. This one has like static images that they pan slowly across the screen. And that's it. Like, there's like no like cutscenes in there. It's like they like half-assed it. Which, I'm sorry, but like that you, when you have one game that looks really cool, like you've put out games that are really high quality, and then this one comes out, it's just even that much more of a contrast to your previous games. And so obviously, it's people are going to complain about it because it's they were expecting Dishonored, and you gave them 1-2 Switch.
All right. Well, let's move on and address another rumor that's going around in the gaming community right now, and that is that CD Projekt Red is apparently trying to get, or is Sony is trying to buy CD Projekt Red, and the rumor is so loud that President and CEO Adam Kaninsky actually said in a recent investor Q&A, "Not happening. CD Projekt is not for sale." This dates back to apparently a Destiny leaker who had, one that had been right before, had a thread on Reddit that PlayStation wants to buy CD Projekt Red. In that investor Q&A, the CEO said, "Nothing has changed on our end. I can repeat what we've been saying throughout the years. CD Projekt is not for sale. We want to remain independent. We have, I believe, an excellent strategy. For sure, it's not easy to execute, but it's very exciting to follow our path. So it's pure rumor." So we already know that they're working on some other things that have nothing to do with Cyberpunk 2077. For example, a new Witcher trilogy is something that's being worked on. There's also the expansion for Cyberpunk 2077, which will be shown at Summer Game Fest. That is something they're going to show. So there's still more to come there. But interesting that we always get these rumors about Sony trying to buy somebody. Like they've got to be looking around wondering, who can we buy since Microsoft's getting Activision Blizzard? Who can we buy? I don't know. Maybe they'll buy Capcom. I don't know. But
well, just because, you know, it still could be a true rumor. It could be that, you know, internally they're like, yeah, we're interested in acquiring this company. But if the company doesn't want to sell, they can't purchase it.
Right.
You know, that's still so. Both could be true at the same time.
Yeah, true. All right, Dark Sakura.
Well, it's finally happened. I can't make words. Tsuchiya Kazuhiro, who is the current producer of the Mega Man series, has left Capcom. He followed Inafune in 2010 as taking over. The first one he worked on was Mega Man 7 for Super Nintendo, and recently worked on the Mega Man Legacy Collection and the Battle Network series, but there is no announced replacement for him yet.
I wonder if this means they aren't working on a new Mega Man game right now. You'd think they would be. I thought the more recent entries actually sold pretty decently, but...
I liked 11.
Yeah.
So that's... unfortunate. And they also they've been re-releasing like a bunch of those collections that have probably sold pretty well. So
oh yeah, Battle Network, all that just came out recently.
And I would like to say that, like, I mean, I get it that they're not making stuff, but like watching the showcase and like runs of Mega Man Maker games, pretty awesome during Summer Games Done Quick.
Oh, I didn't see the Mega Man. I saw some of the Mario Maker relay that they were doing, but
yeah. So like, there's like a PC game that's Mega Man Maker that they've developed and stuff, and so you can make your own custom Mega Man games. And they did a bunch of Mega Man levels themed after other, you know, 8-bit games, which I thought was funny. Cool. Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. All right. Moving on, Loki.
All right. So there's this whole thing going on with esports now. Basically, some of the leagues are trying to unionize and are striking over plans to make rule changes that would, I guess, cut the North American Challenger League from 16 teams to 7. I thought that they were trying to. Yeah, the LCS Players Association, representing the region's professional players, said they'll see an estimated 70 players, coaches, etc., lose their jobs. And Riot says that the cuts were necessary to ensure that the North American leagues remain sustainable and economically viable. So they're just going to try to refuse to play. And then Riot's basically going to say, well, if you strike, then we're going to cancel the entire esports season. I guess that makes sense if you don't have any teams. Yeah. So they're saying hopefully this 2-week window will give us time to for productive dialogue between the CPA teams and the league, and then resume LCS competition this summer. The LCS will not be penalizing teams for not fielding their rosters during this 2-week period to allow for everyone's space to focus on constructive dialogue. We're doing our best to ensure LCS employees, contractors, and others supporting LCS or others supporting the LCS are not negatively impacted by the delay. So, yep. And there was another thing, too, saying that there's Riot. They said that there's a possibility of teams using scab players.
Yeah.
So hopefully they don't do that.
Hmm.
I'm just like, people.
Yeah. A lot of strong arm tactics going on in the industry right now, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What a terrible follow up this makes for it, but it's one of those things where it's like the lion, the witch, and the audacity of this bitch. Like, again, here we are talking about, you know who, the CEO of Activision Blizzard, Bobby Beeptick.
Bobby Crap.
I don't know why, but he got a fucking cover story on Variety this week. And I'm assuming it's because of Diablo 4's launch or whatever, which Variety is a Hollywood thing. But we know games are starting to bleed the line with Hollywood. So fine, whatever. I get why Variety's doing that. But to give this guy the cover, Christ. But there's this whole interview that they just basically give him a platform to say things like, quote, "We've had every possible form of investigation done, and we did not have a systemic issue with harassment ever."
Well,
fucking Jason laid it out in the intro already. Like, the lie detector test determined that was a lie. Like,
lie detectors don't work.
It's a Maury reference. But it's just, yeah. Obviously, you know, Diablo 4 is launching and all that stuff. And, Variety says in that interview, quote, continued a comment from you know who, saying, look, like any large company with 16,000 employees, we're going to have some instances of workplace discrimination or harassment. We're fortunate over our 30 years, it's been a very small number, and it's something that we care deeply about. I swear to God, that sounds like something our last president would have said. That sounds like a quote from what the last, like the way that's phrased is just from the school of, I'm not even going to say his name, but you all know who I'm talking about. Mm. It's a very small number. We care.
They don't care at all.
He needs to go. He needs to go.
I mean, this is a perfect example of why he needs to go, because he doesn't think there's a problem. I mean, come on. I mean, there's no problem. I mean, obviously, they're not going to come out and say, yeah, we knew about this systemic problem at our company. Of course he's going to deny it. Of course he is.
Here's the thing. He's only emboldened by everything that's happened. Recap. The board of directors at Activision, so the own company that talks to this guy every day, did that report that cleared Bobby Kotick of any wrongdoing. And in that report, it said, contrary to many of the allegations, the board and its external advisors have determined that there is no evidence to suggest that Activision Blizzard senior executives ever intentionally ignored or attempted to downplay the instances of gender harassment that occurred and were reported, which we all know, again, lie. And Bobby Kotick said, now he's just emboldened, he says in the cover story of Variety, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you if any of what you read in the inflammatory narrative was truthful. He shouldn't be sitting there. That's why all of us that care about this industry are so fucking mad, because it's this systemic fuckery going on with the board of directors. I got to watch Getting Loud tonight. My voice can't handle it. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, it's this systemic fuckery happening with the board of directors that is allowing Bobby Kotick to stay in place. And the whole process is infuriating. And the fact that now this is just a cover story that more people can read as almost like this guy is trying to save face is also infuriating. And I just want to see this guy out of our industry sooner rather than later. Period.
I agree.
And I don't know what else needs to be said. So let's travel back to a simpler time when this guy wasn't in the headlines. Let's go back in this next segment to a more fun time in gaming. If I can find the button.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
All right, what did you pick for the classic game of the week, Dark Sakura?
Saturn Bomberman.
Ooh.
Which is a very specific reason I chose Saturn Bomberman. I love Bomberman, don't get me wrong, but this one is a little bit special. So, of course, it was an action game developed by Hudson Soft for Sega Saturn. It is the 12th Bomberman game, and it was released in Japan on July 19th, 1996, and in North America on August 22nd, 1997, and in Europe in 1997 as well. It is a multiplayer game for up to 10 players. It is one of the top, I would say, rated Bomberman games, although it did get some criticism for not really pushing the series. But at any rate, it has that battle mode and a story mode. And then there's a master mode where you have to finish a series of levels where you're given rank based on how much time is taken. And so you have a scoreboard for, you know, how fast you do, and you get different power-ups. Of course, there's new ones. Saturn Bomberman brings in dinosaur helpers, which are found as eggs, and when you release, they're released when you destroy a soft block, and there are babies, adolescents, and adults in the appropriate strength level. They can take one hit, and you can ride the dinosaur, and basically they act as your Yoshi. They get hit, you're okay. You have different power-ups, the special meter that slowly builds up, and once the meter is full, your dinosaur will grow a level from baby to adolescent and adolescent to adult. But in battle mode, it's a little differently. When you collect an egg riding the dinosaur will grow. And then you can jump off the dinosaur at any time. So basically, the story mode for this is that you blow up poles with red orbs that are called Zarfs. While destroying your enemies and blowing up blocks and getting power-ups. And then once you clean out all the Zarfs, you get an exit and can go. And you do a victory pose, and there's a cutscene. The battle mode. So this is where it gets interesting. So you need two multi-taps for this. Seven players can connect on one multi-tap. Or you can just play, you know, two, but you also can go against bots in the game. If you have more than eight players, you get a widescreen arena that shrinks the characters down. It's a little bit, it makes the play field area very large, but it disables some power-ups, including the dinosaurs. The North American version also supports the Sega Netlink for up to four players online. They were pretty split over this. Like I said, you know, a lot of people thought that this was an amazing addition, that the power-ups in the system was just pretty awesome. You know, having the 10 players set up was also pretty great, but there were some people who thought it just didn't do enough. They think that it's still too much classic Bomberman and didn't add anything fresh to it. That's really been the only thing, but not everyone was fully sold on the 10-player feature as well because of the screen size and losing the power-ups and whatnot. EGM said it was a mediocre one-player game, but a fantastic multiplayer game. And honestly, I've only ever played this multiplayer. So I think the biggest party I played with was a six-person party. They also said the graphics and music weren't super great, but this one itself, you know, like I said, this one was just a really fun group game. I mean, in the end, that's what it was meant for. It was ranked as the second best Saturn game of 1997, with Fighters Megamix being right above it. I don't know if I've done Fighters Megamix. I might need to. In 2014, Retro Gamer placed this on their top 10 Saturn games list. And I think that, it's a little divisive. But I think it's a fun game if you just look at it for what it is. It's a Bomberman game, and it's on the Saturn, and you can have a lot of friends play with you. This is an ultimate party game. So, there you go.
All right. Your classic game of the week, Saturn Bomberman.
I was actually pretty surprised I've never done a Bomberman.
Oh, you haven't done any? I thought you've done at least one of them. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I looked and no bombers came up.
Interesting.
I think I've done Star Parodia, and I think that's the closest to Bomberman I got.
Interesting. All right. Well, I never played the Saturn one, but that party mode sounds really messy.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah.
It is messy though. I mean, yeah. Like when you get to the 10 player one, I'll be honest, it never really appealed to me in that respect. But at the same time, I mean, it's just, you know, it's Bomberman. How can you go wrong with Bomberman?
All right. Well, let's travel around and get some rapid fire news and some other topics really quickly here before we wrap up. Yeah, we're going to move to wrap up here pretty soon, actually, folks. Sorry, I know it's a little early, but as I said, just for a multitude of issues, we want to keep it a little shorter than usual tonight. So sorry, but I'm sure you all understand. So let's do some other quick headlines. Loki.
Yeah, so itch.io is doing yet another queer games bundle. I think we did something similar like this last year, but we have another bundle with 450 games, tabletop games, books, zines, albums, art, and from nearly 300 queer creators, all for $60. The price of one AAA game, you can get 450 pieces of material. Games and all sorts of other things. So that's pretty cool. And I have no idea what's in that in that bundle, but it's probably a lot of stuff. I have way too much stuff on itch.io that I've not touched. But I'll still probably buy it. And PlayStation Plus has announced their monthly games lineup for June 2023. So you're gonna be getting with Games of Plus NBA 2K23, and we have Jurassic World Evolution 2. Those are both going to be on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. And last but not least, Trek to Yomi is going to be on both as well.
All right. I think I gave you the same link twice for Xbox Game Pass. Sorry. We can come back and do those at the end if you want to find the right link in the show roll. Let me go to Dark Sakura first then with... I when I saw this headline, I instantly thought of you.
Yeah, and it's going to be too much for me to do the pre-order as much as I want it. But Cotton 100%, which is a SNES classic or a Super Famicom classic, is being re-released for September 2023 date. It will be roughly $55. It comes with a brand new art reminiscent of the original. I'll be more specific about it. It says delivery date between September 26th and October 5th. So around late September, it's 7,678 yen. Now the delivery price on this, the release date is September 21st. There we go. Gosh, the delivery on this is 2,416 yen. But oh my gosh, I want it so much. I love Cotton. But it's not the only game that they're doing this with, I think. Mm. I'm just looking at some of the upcoming stuff available. No, actually, I think cotton is the only one that's getting the release like that. I thought I saw other stuff, but yeah, this there's Battletoads. Looks like Battletoads is a resale version from
Nice.
the scenes of it. And there's a Mega Drive game on here too, which is I don't recognize the game. Glaylancer. Yeah, so I'm seeing a few things on there for other things, but they also have a bunch of like retro knockoff systems meant to play things. But yeah, I mean, Cotton, shit. I love that game.
All right. Well, we had brought it up earlier in the show, but just to officially recap, Summer Games Done Quick did happen this last week, and the official final total, $2,239,204 for Doctors Without Borders, or I believe that's Médicos Sin Fronteras, is that's why it's MSF USA.
Wolf's Frontier. It's Dodgers Without Borders.
Yeah, but it's Doctors Without Borders. Yeah, they raised quite a bit of money there. That's certainly no small amount to blink at. That's a great job by all done. Some folks are noting it's not as much as was raised last year, but there's probably a few things that come into play with that. Again, Bobby went into this on in depth on his show, so I won't recap it too much. But something to kind of consider is that the time, if you look at the timing that this year's event happened, it was really different from other years. Usually, this happens pretty close to like my birthday and OLR's birthday, which is the end of June. We're close to the end of June right now, so I would say timing is probably a part of that, but again, I will defer to Bobby Show tonight, who gets a little more into it tonight. But again, I don't think we should be like, oh no, it didn't raise as much money. Like, it still raised $2.2 million. When was the last time you raised that kind of money? That's a great amount of money for a very worthy cause. So congratulations to everyone that was involved with that. All right. Loki, do you want to talk about Xbox Game Pass real quick?
Yeah, so Game Pass is getting quite a few games for the month of June. So we have Chicory, A Colorful Tale, that's both on console and PC as well as cloud. Far World Pioneers on console and PC. We have Car Mechanic Simulator 2021 on all three. Slayer's X, Terminal Aftermath, Vengeance of the Slayer on all three. The Big Con, that's also all three. Amnesia: The Bunker. We've got Hypno Space Outlaw, Rune Factory 4 Special, Stacking. Let's see. Dord. I have no idea how to pronounce. I'm gonna butcher this, but that's fine. It looks like Dordogne, I guess. That's coming out on all three as well. And then apparently there's gonna be. Oh gosh, there's still more. Okay, well, we've got Super Mega Baseball 4. That's going to be early access with, I guess that's EA Play. And then Super Land 6 Inches Under, Battlefield 2040. And this is like, I think this is DLC. Yeah, game updates. So Tales and Trails. Yeah, of course. That's Minecraft stuff. Leaving Games Pass, we've got Bridge Constructor Portal. That's going to be leaving. Chorus, Maneater, Mortal Shell, Serious Sam 4, and Total War: Three Kingdoms.
There were some updates to that leaving list, by the way, since the time that was published, because apparently it's out there now that on the 15th of the month, some pretty heavy hitters are going to be leaving. Among Us is leaving Game Pass, which was a pretty heavy hitter when that came out. And Shredder's Revenge, the Ninja Turtles game, is going to be leaving Game Pass. That's been about a year since that came out, right? So maybe the year kind of ran out on that. So, but that was still a little surprising. I was like, Game Pass kind of been taking some hits, but I think something to really keep in mind, again, as we start to get to the end of this show, this weekend, coming weekend, and by the time we're on our next show, gonna be huge, especially for Microsoft. Don't forget, everyone, Microsoft doing a big event Sunday morning-ish, afternoon-ish. It's around, isn't it around like 11 a.m.? I don't remember the exact time. Somebody in chat needs to jump in, please. They're also doing the Starfield Direct as well. So they're kind of doing the deep dive on Starfield and Microsoft announcements. So we'll find out what else Microsoft's doing this holiday. And I don't think it's unrealistic to expect there will be stealth Game Pass releases that they have not been. That is common with these Microsoft events, is there's at least one game they'll be like, and it's on Game Pass today. So even though it kind of feels like there's not much coming to Game Pass, I wonder if they haven't been stockpiling them a little bit to dump with this. Dr. Tetsuya also reminding us Summer Game Fest is also Thursday, so there's going to be a lot that happens with that. There's no way I can simulcast that. Anything that happens during the day now, there's no way I can simulcast it. I guess I didn't mention it, but I'll say I got a promotion at work, which is great and, you know, all that, but it just means more time that I have so much to do right now. So I can't pull away for that. I wish these things were in the evening, but I understand because of time zones, they want to do a lot of these things because like 1 o'clock LA time is like 9 o'clock in the UK. So I understand why they want to do things when they do. Yeah, it just sucks. During the day, I can't simulcast. But I'll definitely be checking out the footnotes after the fact because I'm really curious to see what they do announce from the event for sure. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Yeah, next week's show, we're going to have a lot more stories and hopefully I won't be feeling like shit. All right. Let's do some release dates of what's coming out this week, Loki, in the U.S. What's coming out this week?
This week we have Amnesia, The Bunker. That's going to be coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Diablo 4 is finally coming out for everybody else that didn't pre-order. That's on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Loop 8, Summer of the Gods. That's on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Raiden 3, Cross Mikado Maniacs. And that's on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series.
Is that finally a US one?
It is.
Interesting. The Mikado soundtracks are pretty cool.
We have Bleak Sword DX on PC, Nintendo Switch. Harmony, The Fall of Reverie on PC, Nintendo Switch. Pro Cycling Manager 2023, that's on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. And to go along with that, of course, Tour de France 2023 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. And that is it.
All right. Let's go over to Japan. Japan actually a little slower on releases this week. The only release on the Nintendo Switch this week is the Telenet Shooting Collection. That's a collection of four games, classic titles from PC Engine and Genesis era. These seem like Dark Sakura games. Granada, Avenger, Gyarus, and Psychic Storm are in this collection.
Psychic Storm. Okay. We have stories about Psychic Storm. I'm sure you have been around where Dan and I have gone, I get pissed off, like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a direct reference to them saying Psychic Storm in Psychic Storm because it sounds like I get pissed off.
I see. Okay.
And it's like, Psychic Storm! But it's I get pissed off. So, all right. For us.
Got
so,
it.
Yeah, anyway.
Fun
game.
And then the only release for the PlayStation 5 in Japan this week, actually there are two, MotoGP 23 is out this week in Japan on June the 8th, but just like the rest of the world, Japan is also getting Diablo 4 on June the 6th. So if you were wondering, is that game coming out in Japan? Yes, it is. It is still coming out there. It's a worldwide release, really. So because not everything Blizzard does goes to Japan, because infamously World of Warcraft is not available in Japan for whatever reason. So not that people there aren't playing it, but it's not officially released in Japan. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
So in the UK, on the 6th, for Xbox and PlayStation, we have Diablo 4. For Switch, we have Loop 8, Summer of Gods. On the 8th, for the 3, we have MotoGP 23. On the 9th, for Switch, we have Toy Soldiers. For PlayStation and Switch, we have Garden Simulator. For PlayStation and Xbox, we have Miasma Chronicles. On PlayStation, Death or Treat. Love the name. Also for PlayStation, Seeker My Shadow. That's East All.
All right. Well, with that, folks, we have reached the end of the show. I know it was a little shorter tonight, but I think I've laid out why. Still, an hour and a half is actually pretty good. So thank you all for being here. I appreciate it. Let me quickly go to Loki and see if there's any last minute stories you want to cover tonight. Loki? Mm-hmm. Hey, do you have any last minute stories? You all right over there?
Yeah, I'm okay. I was looking for last minute stories, and no, we have no last minute stories.
I was going to say, it didn't seem like a lot happened this week, but again, you know, with E3 week would have been this upcoming week, I think a lot of it was probably being saved for this next week. So I fully expect next week's going to be a pretty big show. With that,
I guess there's one thing I guess I can mention this real quick. It's really minor, but apparently the developers that were going to be doing the Knights of the Old Republic 2 restoration DLC on Switch said that they're not going to be able to do that.
I'm glad you brought this up. This is a big deal for that community.
Yeah, so instead, Spire is going to be offering some free replacement games instead. So if you are affected by this, if you pre-order this, you can get they have KOTOR 2, the Sith Lords on Steam. They've got Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic on Switch, The Force Unleashed, Republic Commando, Episode One Racer, Jedi Knight Jedi Academy, or Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast on Switch as well. So yeah, that sucks.
Which, if you're a Star Wars fan, you probably already owned all those Switch games. So it's
right. I mean, it's not like this is a brand new game. It's just, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's. And I should shout out the mailbag. I don't think we had any new emails tonight anyway, but I will.
We had garbage.
Yeah. I will mention participate@orangelaundry.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. Again, that's participate@orangelaundry.com. I imagine we might get a couple after Summer Game Fest this week. We'll see.
I have put out a call, by the way. For at least two cat pictures with nerdy stuff in them. No people. I want like video game memorabilia or the old Miitomo thing, you know, stuff like that.
Oh yeah, because you're talking about updating the intro, huh?
Right, and I need cheddar.
I was gonna say I need to get you cheddar picks then. That actually is timed really well because our 21st anniversary ... is in 3 weeks on the 25th would be our 21st anniversary show. This show is now old enough to drink. So there's that.
Don't we have other stuff we could be doing?
Well, putting together cat pictures into a collage. Clearly, that's one of them. So,
okay. I mean, I was talking about like napping.
Def says, what's the due date for that? If we want to make that happen by the June 25th show, then what's the due date for that?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Today,
SSJ 100 Matt would like to submit a dog.
I guess put cat ears on it; it'll be fine.
I think we can allow Matt's dog. He's cute.
Yeah.
All right.
Just this once.
Dog exceptions on a case by case basis.
Ferrets are 1,000% allowed.
Actually, for Deft, we should allow other animals too if he wants.
Yeah. So we can have other animals.
Absolutely.
Just I'm gonna have to change this to OLR cats and friends.
Yeah, cats and friends, because we all know cats are in charge. Absolutely.
Yeah, the cats rule the stoop.
All right, with that, we're gonna wrap up the show for tonight. So that's it. Thank you as always for listening to Orange Launch Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard, tell a friend about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices to put out on air. So a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or Spotify or wherever it is you heard this show, those go an awful long way. So please consider that. In the meantime, we'll get everybody's final thoughts. So Dark Sakura, I guess you get to get an early start tonight if you want on your post-show shenanigans.
Well, that means that, actually, I'm going to have a Shayla with me. I do not know about a Fixie, because I think Fixie is with their significant other. But yeah, I'm going to do some entertainment and ending things and stuff.
All right. Well, you have a final thought for us tonight?
I don't have any thoughts. Oh, I guess I'll just go ahead and say, you know, again, we miss you, Peppers. I'm glad you're not hurting, and may your memory be a blessing.
All right. Well, thanks, Jamie. We'll talk to you next week.
I guess.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
All right, Loki, your final thought tonight.
Just going to be working hard on more Minecraft content. Just rushing to get stuff down, or stuff done, I guess. Lots to work on, lots to do.
All right. And my final thought is I really hope I'm feeling better tomorrow, because I do want to get to streaming some Diablo 4. I'm actually a little bit pained that I haven't been able to stream the early hours of the game, but it is what it is. Even doing this tonight, I'm already like, oh, sinus pressure. Ah. So I'm going to go treat myself to a nap. So on that thought, we have a busy week ahead. I think we all need a nap, because it's going to be a big week in gaming this week. So we will be here in 7 days to digest all the news from Summer Game Fest, Microsoft's press event. I keep saying press event, but it's really, you know, gamer direct conference or whatever you want to call it. And whatever other surprises might be dropped on us this week. I assume it may not end there. We may have some other surprises this week. So we will talk about all of that next week on the show. In the meantime, I hope you all have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for being here. And I am now going to roll the credits, which, by the way, DJ Rama S subbed the credits out and made good on her promise from last week. So that being said, those on the podcast, you're going to hear something different behind as we outro tonight. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.